This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And we have another guest in the studio at the moment. We have Esther Van Dornham, who is the co-artistic director and actor in When the Rain Stops Falling, which is a new show launching at Theatre Works in St Kilda from the 14th of July. Esther, thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Esther, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this position in the arts?
Well, I'm an actor, predominantly, I guess. And I finished drama school in Sydney about 20 years ago, I think, round about that time. And then I sort of dropped out of the business maybe 10 years ago and drifted around doing all sorts of other things and never really landed anywhere, and then somehow ended up back in here where I am, being an actor again and starting a theatre company. And my co-artistic director and partner in crime, Bryony Dunn, we were at NIDA at the same time, so we met.
Excuse me, you didn't drop that before? NIDA, hello.
I was a school part in of Sydney. History.
How hard was it getting in? Because
I auditioned three times.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Wow. And was it worth it? You know, like the journey, was it definitely worth?
Yeah, I was pretty young at the time. I think I turned 21 in my first year and I discovered boys.
So you're a bit distracted,
maybe? I was very distracted for the first 2 years, and yeah, definitely worth it. I would actually love to go back and do it now that I'm sort of settled and not interested in boys anymore, and I'm just
I think that's the case with a lot of people. It's especially when you're an actor as well, you know, virtually going straight from school into a great learning institution like that, that you know, like, you don't have enough life experience, do you?
No.
And you're like, to, because you've got to lean on that as an actor.
Absolutely.
You know more than me about that.
Yeah.
And so you know, like, you're acting as a 40-year-old and you're a 19-year-old, or a 40-year-old, so your mother or father, and you don't understand the role.
Yeah, it's that. But for me, it was also stuff like turning up on time, not partying all weekend, listening, connecting with other people. It was that kind of stuff, that those sort of skills that when you're in your 20s, you still
And I was I was talking to an acting coach the other day, and he was saying that, you know, he actually tells people, you know, even though they're paying for his coaching, go away, you know, like, you're wasting your money. You know, like, come back when you're ready, or don't come back at all.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think the best thing I ever did as an actor was leave the industry and go and do other things. So I came back to it in my, I was nearly about 39, 40.
Right.
And I was ready to be there. I was ready to work and ready to.
And what was the turning point of making you decide that's what you wanted to do?
It's a long story. I kind of just drifted around looking for where I was meant to be and never really found that place. And I found myself stuck in just a horrible 9-to-5 job.
Right.
In an office. Which, you know, when I was a moody teenager with purple hair, I was like, I just don't know how I got there.
Right,
because it was so never where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I think that was the turning point, actually.
Okay.
It kind of made me look at really where I wanted to, what I wanted to do. And as soon as I made the decision, no, that's actually where I should be.
Was it a difficult re-entry back into acting?
Mm. It took me ages to find an agent. Because I had no work, and believe it or not, they didn't care about my episode in Water Rats from 1996.
What? Don't they know who you are?
I know. Nobody cared about that.
Were you in it for long, or was it one episode?
No, one episode.
Right. Yeah. So no wonder they forgot it.
Doesn't matter, David.
It was Water Rats.
It was Water Rats. I was great.
Do you have the video of it?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good.
I look like I look like about 5 years old. That's so weird.
First thing on the show reel.
So yeah, it was, but yeah,
you got there.
I got there in the end.
So
yeah.
So tell us why did you start your own little production company?
So I could work.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we're hearing it more
That's the short answer, aren't we?
That we get a lot of people in here that have started their own because it's the work thing, but also to push the boundaries of what they want to achieve in theatre as well.
Yeah. I guess going back to what I said before, when I was in my 20s, you're not kind of ready, you're not listening, all that kind of stuff. And you hear, or I used to hear all the time, you've got to make your own work, you've got to make your own work. If you're an actor or any kind of creative person, I guess, like if you want to work in the industry, you kind of got to do it mostly yourself.
Do you? Okay.
And I was really, when I was in my 20s, I didn't understand that. Mm. I was like, no, I'm just going to go to auditions and they're going to hire me and it's going to be great. But I think I know a lot of actors who never made their own, who don't make their own work and have become kind of bitter and resentful by the industry.
Right.
Because you don't get every job you got.
No,
no.
And
do you have to pick up a new set of skill sets in sort of doing that, creating your own? Then not just creating, but then going and selling it, your ideas,
well,
I suppose.
Well, weirdly, looking back, that horrible office job that I had taught me a lot of really great skills. I was working in a marketing department.
Oh, well, there you go. That's good.
And I didn't, like, at the time, I didn't know that this is actually going to be really useful for me down the line. But I do all the marketing for our company. And I learned just a lot of really useful skills, graphic design skills, how to build a website, sending out newsletters, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So actually, that was kind of a blessing in disguise, really.
Yeah. And what about financially? It's that literal thing, and we know how hard it is with the arts.
Yeah, our first production was entirely self-funded.
Mm.
This production, I produced this one. We did get a cultural development grant. I think that's what it's called, from the City of Port Phillip.
Right, so, but how hard is it going after grants? It's almost like going to an audition, isn't it? The chances of getting a grant is really low.
Yeah, well, we applied for probably about 10 grants and we got one.
Yeah.
But again, that was, I went to RMIT, I did the writing and editing course. So I learned how to write.
Yep.
And also when I worked in the marketing department, I learned how to put together newsletters and draft copy and all that kind of stuff. So, again, transferable skills that I can put into writing grants.
Because it's quite tedious, isn't it? You know, like the long process to write a grant.
Mm. Yeah, it is. I kind of enjoy it, though.
Oh, do you?
I'm a bit weird.
You're a nerd.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your study in writing has informed your acting and vice versa?
Not really. Maybe just I love language. I'm a real words nerd.
Nerd again.
No, I wouldn't say it's informed, but I think I guess, like a love of language, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
Mm.
All right, well, tell us about this play, and it better be good, you know, especially considering you've produced it.
I know. You mean the play better be good?
Yeah. Oh. And you as an actor, you better be brilliant, you know, like that water axe experience has got to come out.
Otherwise the marketing skill kicks in. Of course it's brilliant.
Yeah.
What's it called to begin with?
It's called When the Rain Stops Falling.
Right.
It's written by Andrew Bovell.
And who's that?
I think most people probably know his film Lantana.
Oh, of course.
When did that come out? In the 90s?
I loved that film.
2000s?
Yeah, 2000. But one of the best Australian films, because there weren't a lot of good Australian films around in that era, but that was exceptional, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's written other plays, After Dinner, Who's Afraid of the Working Class?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anthem, I think, was the last one he did. It starts in Alice Springs in 2039, so it starts in the future.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes backwards and forwards in time. So then it goes back to London in the 60s, and then it jumps to Adelaide in 2013, then it jumps back to the 60s, then it jumps to in London, then it jumps back to Adelaide in the 80s.
Yep.
So it's constantly crossing.
Why Adelaide? Is he from there or something? Or
I, I know he lives in Adelaide currently because I've sent right. him mail. Okay. I don't know why Adelaide.
Right. I thought it might have had something to do with back to London 60s and whatever about the bomb that was, you know, like the let. No, it's got nothing to do
no,
with that.
No, nothing. Okay. and it's about a family. It's about a generation. I think it's four generations of family. And
oh, I suppose a lot of English migrants went to Adelaide. That would be the reason.
Right, there you
go. Yeah, you know, like, because I'm originally from there.
Right.
And there was even a town, a satellite town out of Adelaide called Elizabeth. Do you guys all know Elizabeth? And it's, you know, it's pretty much connected to Adelaide now, but a whole satellite city because of the English migrants that came out. Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But it traces the decision of, or the mistake of one man. And how that the ripple effect of through families.
Well,
how
can you say? Can you say what it is?
No, I can't. Right? Okay. No, that would.
Otherwise, you'd have to kill us all.
I would have to kill you.
Yeah. And all our listeners. And all
Gosh, that's a full-time job.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Because it probably can have big impact. What might happen in a family?
I think we all do. I think we all carry what our parents do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And grandparents and.
Yeah.
So forth.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's also about climate change.
Ah. Mm. That old thing. Yeah. That new thing. That important thing. Mm. Yeah.
So it was written in 2008.
Oh, okay. So ahead of its time in climate change.
Yeah. And it was originally called the Extinction Project. I think I've got that right. And it was written sort of in response to a couple of the climate reports that were being published at the time.
Right. So, okay. Yeah. Wow, that's forward thinking you know, like, for that era.
And one of the lines is that I think it's said a few times by a few different characters is unprecedented flooding. And yesterday I was looking at what's happening in New York, the flooding that's going on there. So it's spooky in its timeliness.
Yeah. Yeah, and also the flooding that's just happened in Japan. You know, where everyone's shocking. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so how many people are in the play?
Oh, well, there's seven actors.
Yep.
But there's nine characters, so there's double ups.
Yep. Are you playing two?
No, I'm playing one, but there's an older version of me. So I'm Elizabeth Law in the 60s.
Right.
And the lovely Margaret Mills is Elizabeth Law older in London in the 80s.
Right, okay. Mm. Right.
Yep.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds interesting. And you're like, well, he's a great... writer, so it should be fabulous. What's it called again?
When the Rain Stops Falling.
And where's it on?
Theatre Works.
Around the corner on Ackland Street in St Kilda. Mm-hmm. When's it on from?
We preview tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're sold out tomorrow night.
Yay!
So
fantastic.
And then we open on Wednesday the 14th.
Right. How long's the season?
We close on the 31st of July.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't leave it to the last minute, people.
No, don't. But we're also doing a season at the White Horse Centre.
One
day.
One day, wow.
Two shows, one day.
And that's the other side of a being, you know, like having your own little production company. Mm-hmm. It's a shame when all of a sudden, and it's good that you're doing it somewhere else, but all of a sudden, bang, it's over. You're like, would you like to tour this?
Yes, that is definitely going to happen.
Oh, definitely going to happen. There you go.
Well, I'm
going to
make it happen.
Good.
We've been working on this for 2 years.
Wow.
Because we got shut down because of...
Oh, of course.
The plague.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like to end it in 3 weeks on the 31st of July, I can't do that. I'm not, like, I can't work on something for 2 years and then just do it for 3 weeks and that's it.
Yeah. And, and Theatre Works is a great space to work out of.
Amazing.
And they're into really interesting theatre and very supportive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
And come back when you start touring it or whatever happens next.
Love to.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.